Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Today's topic is on the subject of forgiveness, and it's probably one of the most asked questions over the more than a decade, nearly decade and a half that we've been doing this. And the question really is, can I really, really forgive them? I know forgiveness is a very difficult thing for many of us. So if you have your notes, I really want you to follow along today on the notes, especially today, because I know this, you will need this subject. Sooner rather than later, you are going to have to walk down a path of forgiveness. You're going to have to. You're like, oh, don't say that about my... No, the people are mean and they're hurtful and they cause pain. And you're going to have to be in a position where you have to forgive someone. So go ahead and turn to your neighbor right now and say, you really need this. Go ahead and tell them. Yeah. Turn to somebody else. Turn to your second choice and say, it's true. They really do need this. I've watched them and they need this. Can you forgive them? And there's a verse of scripture that I want you to look at with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So all that junk that eats up your life, Paul says, we're supposed to get rid of it. How do we do it? We do it by, he says, be kind. So get rid of this, get rid of these first things and replace it with these latter things. So be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And so the journey begins to forgiveness. And I think there are three key questions to know what we need to know about forgiveness. And that is, what is it? Why should we do it? And how do we do it? So I'm going to attempt to answer those three questions this morning. And so in terms of what is forgiveness, in your notes, number one, it's misunderstood. It is misunderstood. And this is what makes it challenging, because we don't understand it. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. I've had lots and lots of conversations about this with individuals. And here's the dilemma. Here's the problem. Josh, I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but I don't want to open myself up to them because of the hurt that they've caused. Josh, I know I'm supposed to forgive and trust them, but they've been so hurtful to me and the pain is so real. How do I do it? And I would say, you need to understand this, that forgiveness and reconciliation and trust are three different things. And the only thing we're talking to you about today is forgiveness. In other words, for someone to say, I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but they get locked up in this barrier because we think that I can't really forgive them until we're back in a relationship again. Or I haven't really forgiven them until I've trusted them again. And I want you to understand, forgiveness is something that stands alone all by itself. Reconciliation and trust is a completely different process. Right? And so Jesus even spells this out in Matthew chapter 18. Go and look at it in Matthew chapter 18. And you'll see that it's different. So I want to sequence it out for you this way. Forgiveness, it involves the past. Reconciliation involves the present. And trust involves the future. So thinking through it, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you have to be reconciled in relationship with them. And just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you have to trust them. In fact, there are many cases where you should forgive and you shouldn't trust. There are some cases where you should forgive and you shouldn't be reconciled with that person. Why would I say that? Because they have not accepted responsibility for their actions. And the moment you go back into that relationship, you open yourself up for further abuse, further pain, further distress, all kinds of toxic things. Because listen, forgiveness is one-sided. It's you letting them go. Reconciliation takes two people. In other words, when that person has wronged you, before you can get back in a trusting, healthy relationship with them, they have to accept responsibility for their actions, and they have to show remorse and desire to change so that you don't continue to experience more of the same. In fact, the person who was hurtful to you, they need to change not just for you, but for themselves, because they have a pattern of unhealthy, toxic behavior if they just keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it. What I have in my mind is individuals who are in physically abusive relationships, and the spouse is physically abusive to their spouse. The husband perhaps is physically abusive to their wife, and he apologizes profusely, and she forgives him and accepts his apology, but he does it again and again and again. And people in this mindset, you can see that very easily. They're like, well, how do I forgive him? Because I have, no, listen. Forgiveness is what we're looking at as a process all by itself today. And if you don't get this foundation correct, you're going to hear me say something that I didn't say that's going to create a difficulty for you in moving forward and walking in the pattern of God's way of forgiveness. So I said a bunch in a few seconds. Let me pause. If you're with me, say, I'm still with you. Some of you look confused, so I just want to make sure. Some of you have a strained paying attention voice. I get that. It's okay, all right? So it's tough. Look at this. I love this verse in Proverbs. This is permission for you. The righteous choose their friends carefully. If a person continues on a pattern of behavior, I think you need to choose differently. And it's okay for you to choose differently. Matthew chapter 18, when you read it, you'll see this, that Jesus actually teaches you, if a person continues to commit sinful, harmful behavior to you without change, you are supposed to get away from that person. It is a command of Jesus. Jesus does not require his followers to be involved in patterns of abuse. He looks out for us and wants us to get out of those situations. Don't confuse being a loving person with being a doormat for Jesus. It's not the same thing, okay? It's just not the same thing. So what is it? Forgiveness, so it's misunderstood. You need to understand this too. It's forgiveness, not forgetness. I think I made this word up. I didn't look it up and I didn't grammarly it and check. Is it a real word? Someone says it's a real word. Cool. I didn't, my vocabulary is extensive, ladies and gentlemen. And so it's forgiveness, not forgetness, because we hear this all the time. Supposed to forgive and forget. Supposed to forgive and forget. Supposed to forgive and forget. So when you can't forget, then have you really forgiven? Absolutely you have, because it is impossible to try and forget something. Because every time you try to forget something, you're focusing on the very thing you're trying to forget. And therefore, you're not forgetting it. You're continuing to dwell on it and think about it and focus on it over and over and over again. So it's a wonderful, liberating thing to know. You can remember and still have forgiven. Right. That's exciting for someone, because you don't have to have it completely erased from your mind before you can offer forgiveness. Let me tell it to you this way. Because forgetting is hard. I was about 10 or 11 years old, so about 30 years ago. I remember it vividly. My mom came home after a long day's work with a box of Swiss cake rolls. The Hostess Swiss cake rolls, they were the white Swiss cake rolls with the jelly filling. How many remember those things? Well, she brought those home, and she brought a whole box, and I decided it was a good idea to eat the entire box in one setting. How many of you all have had bad ideas before? Am I the only one? And not only that, I chased it down with milk. So an entire box of Swiss cake rolls with probably half of a half a gallon of milk. And some of you have a look on your face. It's like, you're disgusting, dude. And I was violently ill after that. Violently ill. To the point where 30 years ago is the last time I ever ate a Swiss cake roll. I have not forgotten it. I've remembered it. There hasn't been forgetfulness, but I did forgive my mom for bringing them home. Come on, somebody. Just because you remember, don't think that you're walking in unforgiveness because your memory still works. You can forgive and still recall that. What is forgiveness? It's a work of grace in my heart from God. It's a work of the grace of God in my heart. Forgiveness isn't just a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing where you invite God in to the process, and it's perfectly normal, perfectly okay. In fact, I would say it's necessary to say, God, I need your help in forgiving this person for this situation because I'm not doing very well on my own. I can say the words, God, I forgive them, and in my heart, there still be some stuff attached to it that has the feeling of, God, I forgive them, and since I forgive them, I give you permission to go get them, like kill them, you know what I mean? No. It's a place where this happens. It is the canceling of an emotional debt with no attempt to collect. It is the canceling of that emotional. It's saying, you know what? You've wronged me, and I'm not going to try to get back at you. You've wronged me, and I'm not going to try to get even with you. You've wronged me, and I'm just going to absolutely cancel that debt, and I'm not going to try to collect on it. I'm not going to try to drudge up the past. I read a story this week about a boy who was in an orphanage, and he was adopted. And his family came to get him, to bring him to his new home. He had these old grubby clothes on with these specific shoes that had holes in them. And he was so excited. He had all these hopes and dreams of what it would be like to be in a real family that loved him and cared about him. And so they brought him to the new home. They gave him new clothes. They gave him new shoes. They fed him. They introduced him to the kids in the neighborhood. And he came back from playing with some of the new friends in the neighborhood. And he noticed that on the mantle were his old shoes. His old shoes were still on the mantelpiece, those holy, nasty old shoes. And he asked his adopted father, why are those old shoes on the mantle? And he said, that's so every time you mess up, I can remind you of your past and how much you should be thankful for who we are in your life. That's not okay. How many think that would be a painful thing? But so many of us, here's what we do. We say we forgive someone, but we point them to the holy shoes on the mantelpiece and remind them of what they did to wrong us. We dredge up the past. We dredge up past mistakes. We do this and that. Now listen, if you're in a relationship with them and you're helping someone to make advancements and changes, that's a whole different conversation. You're helping to move them forward. But if you're just reminding them to get back at them, attempting to get from them something that you may never get, I wonder if you need to kind of revisit what it means to truly let someone go. And that's why it can be difficult to forgive. It can be difficult to forgive because you're coming to terms with, at times, I'm coming to terms with, you're coming to terms with what could have been, but never will be. So you're grieving. You're hurting. You're in pain. They owed this to me. They should have given this to me. And you continue to expect them to make a payment on something emotionally that they'll never do. And so when we get to this place, it's important to understand that what happens when we forgive is that freedom comes into our life. Freedom from the person who hurt us. Freedom from the person who hurt me. They're no longer in control of your day. They're no longer in control of that portion of your heart. See, because as long as you're waiting for them to give you something that you think you deserve, you're letting them influence the moment, influence your life, do and have control in an area over you still because they've hurt you and now you're waiting for them to do something in response. When you truly get to a place of forgiveness, you get free because you walk away from the idea that that person's ever going to give you that thing. Why should I do it? That's what it is. It's the canceling of an emotional debt. It's not easy. Why should I do it? In your notes, you should forgive for this real simple reason. God forgave me. Yeah. Amen. He forgave me. Forgave you. And can I say this to you? You'll never forgive anyone more than Jesus has forgiven you. He forgave me. That's a good enough reason for me. Watch these verses in Colossians. God forgave all of our sins. All of them, y'all. He didn't just like pick and choose and say, I'm going to let Josh continue to kind of live under the weight of this sin or that sin. Every wrong I had ever committed, he said, I'm going to forgive them all. I'm going to forgive all of them. He canceled the entire record that contained those charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. He forever got rid of those things for us. And he says later in Colossians 3, remember this, y'all remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Why should we do it? Because he did this for us. Why should I forgive? Because if you don't forgive, bitterness is the alternative. Bitterness is a nasty, nasty, nasty thing. A story I heard about a man who was bit by a dog, and the doctor had to come and inform him that the dog had rabies, and this was before the time of the rabies vaccine, the rabies shot, so there was no cure. And the doctor said, is there anything I can do for you? Someone I can call? Something we can do? He said, I'd like a pen and a paper. And he grabbed the pen and paper and he began to write feverishly. And the doctor thought, well, he's writing his will. And he's panicked because he thinks he's going to... He said, sir, I know this is terrible news. If you're writing your will, I just need you to know you have time. It's going to be a couple days. But you will die. Because we have no cure. And he said, if you're writing your will, just, I know you have time. And kind of writing feverishly. And he looks up at him. He said, I'm not writing my will. I'm writing down the names of all the people I want to bite before I die. Bitterness is a lot like that. We get infected with it and we infect others. In fact, when bitterness has taken root, it's blind to us. It's below the surface. It's just how we operate and function. Watch this incredible verse in the book of Hebrews. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives you. For if he does, if you fail to respond, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but also can poison the lives of many others. When bitterness lives inside of you, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you. It's a poison and a toxin that gets into everyone around you that it can through relationship. And for unforgiveness is just a continuation of that destructive force of bitterness growing inside of us. In fact, scientists tell us that of all of the emotions, bitterness is one of the most consequential in causing other problems to exist in our life. It's one of the most unhealthy emotions that we know of. And resentment and bitterness, can I just tell you something? Resentment and bitterness, they don't change what was done to you. And what was done to you was serious. It's not a minimization. It's not minimizing what happened to you in the past. But resentment doesn't change the past. It does, however, continue to contaminate the present and the future unless we deal with it. And we deal with it by forgiving and letting go. Why should I forgive? I think this is the best reason. End of story. God wants me to do it. Is there much else to say? I mean, I'm going to assume we're in church that most of us want to do what God wants us to do. Someone says, but I don't feel like it. Who cares? Quit being a baby. Doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. It sounds like something my kids and your kids would say when they were very small and you woke them up to go to school. I don't want to go. Why not? I don't feel like it. How many of you that persuaded you ever? Was that a valid argument when your kid said, I don't feel like going to school? Is it a valid argument for you tomorrow to wake up and say, I don't feel like going to work, so I'm not going? It might work tomorrow, but I would submit to you, if you do that over and over and over again, you're going to need a job. You're going to get a J-O-B, right? And there's this thing, I want to just touch on it for just a second. There's this idea of, I have to feel like doing it before I do it. No, The life of faith says you do what God says, whether you feel like doing it or not, because it's what God says and his way is right. And in fact, you might want to write this down. Emotions are a terrible leader to follow. Emotions will take you down bad paths at times. They can be good. They can be helpful. They can also be very hurtful if you follow them on a regular basis. I think I can illustrate it to you this way, that emotions are very, very fickle. I've watched me do this. I can be really happy and excited 1 minute and really sad and discouraged a few minutes later. And it gets me in trouble sometimes. Like I can be really, really happy with one of my kids and go spend way too much on them. And then have to explain it to my wife why I spent that much. And so you can see that it gets, like there's all kinds of things where if you follow what feels good, this idea of, well, if it feels good, we're going to do it. No. That means you have to feel like it every time before something happens. And a lot of times, I'm just going to tell you the truth, for me, I don't feel like forgiving. I don't feel like doing it. And God's like, so what's the point? Who cares if you feel like it or not? Do it. Look at this verse. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Nowhere in here does he say, if you feel like it, you should do this. No, in fact, he says this, you cannot receive what you're unwilling to give. If you won't give it, you can't receive it. So when we forgive, we also know that we're going to be in need of forgiveness sooner rather than later. Let me tell you how we can do it now, because I'm almost out of time. Give me like 30 seconds of one and we'll go for it. You ready? How do I forgive? How do I forgive? Daniel's going to come and help me because I'm going to move through it quick. Number one, I'm going to recognize that no one is perfect. How do I do it? Like the first step, I think it's good to remember nobody does it perfectly. We all mess up. How many of y'all have ever messed up? Right? If I could do all four at once. We all have. But when other people mess up, we forget to give them the grace of their own humanity. Don't disconnect this from the beginning. I'm not talking about being in a pattern of repeat abuse. I'm talking about someone genuinely messed up because they're perfect and it hurt you. We do that. We do that all the time. But when someone does it to us, we dehumanize them. Make them into a monster when they're just walking in their humanity. And when I remember, oh, wait. He's a dude just like I'm a dude. She's a human just like I'm a human. She messes up, I mess up, we all mess up. I recognize that and then I begin to change. Like, oh, wait, how do I do it? I do it because I forgive and I'm able to take that step because no one's perfect. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of God's best. The second way to do it is I just relinquish, I give up my right to get even. Just tell myself, Josh, just give that up. You think you have the right to get back at them? Let that go. But they deserve it. Can I just tell you something lovingly, as pastorally as I can do it? You don't want to play the deserve game with God. You don't want to play that game. They deserve it. Lest you forget what you deserve and what I deserve. In fact, the Bible teaches this. I deserve, Josh Pennington, because of my sin, I deserve death, hell, and the grave. But thank God, I didn't get what I deserve. I got God's grace through the gift of Jesus Christ, and he gave me what I did not earn. Like, so don't play the get even game. Don't play the I deserve game. It's not a good look on you. It's just not a good look. The Bible says, don't take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, the greatest act of faith you'll walk out this week is when someone wrongs you, you simply give that to God and let him be your shield and your defender, and you don't think about it anymore. You don't try to get it back. You don't try to play the revenge game. You just say, God, whatever needs to happen, that's none of my business. It's my job to forgive. It's my job to love. It's your job, God, to deal with the rest. Thirdly, I'm to respond to evil with good. So when they do evil, you do good. Humanly speaking, this is impossible on a regular basis. That's why you need God's help. Jesus says it this way, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. I heard a story of a young person in our church that they were treated harshly by someone in their age bracket. Really mean. Something really mean happened to them. And I came to the place where I found out that the person who was hurt and the person who was poorly treated bought the person a card and put a gift card to one of the person's favorite places in it and mailed them a card with a gift. So I was curious. Can I ask you something? Sure. Why in the heck did you do that? They said, well, Jesus said I'm supposed to do good to the people that hate me. I'm supposed to bless the people who are cursing me. I'm supposed to pray for the people who mistreat me. And I just figured he meant it when he said it. So I did it. How awesome is that? How simple is that? It's simple, but it's not easy to just respond differently. That's how we do it. Just respond differently. And lastly, of course, we don't overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Lastly, remember how much you've been forgiven. That's the last one. You can put your notes off to the side. I'm just about done. I'm going to bring a full circle and end with the verse we started with. Thank you for watching online. We're going to wrap up here in just a couple minutes, but just give me a few more minutes. How do I do it? I remember how much I've been forgiven. And here's the challenge. Think about this week. It won't be pleasant. But if you're in a season right now where you're really wrestling with the idea of forgiving a specific person or group of people about certain things, you're really having a hard time emotionally getting to that place where you're just really in it. You've taken steps. I challenge you, if you don't do anything else, do this. See what happens. Get in a place where you're quiet for a few minutes, wherever you can get peace and quiet. And start thinking about all the things that you've been forgiven of. Times you mistreated someone and they accepted your apology and moved forward. Every time you've wronged God or you've wronged a person, think about all the times where you've received forgiveness. My wife and I, we had a discussion yesterday. And we started talking about appreciation and feeling appreciated and feeling unappreciated. I think everyone in here can identify with that there's times where you just don't feel appreciated as a person. You just think people are looking past everything you've done. And as we were talking, one of the things I said is, it's interesting how much we focus on criticism and ignore compliments. Long after the criticism has been uttered, it lives in our hearts and our minds. But it seems no sooner than we hear the compliment, we don't even know it happened. I think the same is true with forgiveness and hurt. We remember the hurt that others have caused us, but we forget how much we were indebted to God and how much He forgave us. That while we were sinners, while we were doing wrong, He forgave us. And that we ought to pass that on to others. if you sit in a room or on your way to work and think about this, or somewhere quiet and think about all the things that you've been forgiven, watch and see if your heart doesn't change and your mind doesn't experience the transforming power of the grace of God. That you say, wow, God forgave me of this. God forgave me of that. My wife forgave me of that. My kids forgave me of this. My mom forgave me. My dad. My sister. My friends. My church family. My small group. Wow. It won't be pleasant. But if you just pause and rewind and think about all the ways you've been a mess, if I'll sit and think about all the ways I've been a mess and remember how much I've been forgiven, you'll see and you'll experience that something will grow inside of you that says, wow, I've been forgiven of all that. How dare I withhold any forgiveness from anyone I come in contact with? Jesus offers it to us, and Paul summarizes it again. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes on me right quick? I just want to give you a minute to think about if you need to make a choice today to offer someone forgiveness. Forgive them of that hurt. Armed with it, this viewpoint, armed with the lens of the grace of God, that forgiving them doesn't mean I have to forget. Forgiving them doesn't mean I have to be in a relationship with them. Forgiving them doesn't mean I have to trust them right now, maybe ever. But they've wronged me, and those emotions are still living inside of me, and I need to get that emotional debt canceled. I need to make a choice right now. I need to give that to God. I just want you to be able to have the freedom to, within your own heart, privately, to give that a thought, to give that a consideration. I don't want anyone here leaving, carrying that anymore if you're at a place where you're ready to let that go. For every person as a child, maybe you were hurt by a parent, father, mother. Maybe as a child, your mom or your dad walked out on you and your family and never came back. For the person who experienced abuse, physical, mental, emotional, listen to me. You don't have to carry that anymore. You can let that thing go. You can let them go. They don't deserve it. I hear you. I hear you. But I think you agree, playing the deserve game is a bad game to play. Let them go. Let that go. For the person who's waiting and holding on to the idea, well, they need to apologize. They need to make it right. Listen to me, listen to me. They may never make it right. You can still let that thing go. You can still cancel that emotional debt. You don't have to carry it around. For someone in here, maybe watching online, you need to give it the consideration, the thought, and I'd say it to you this strong. They're never going to apologize for what they did to you. Let them go anyway. Let that thing go anyway. Don't try to collect on something that you're never going to receive payment on. Let it go. Let it go. Let go of it. Some of you might be in a place where you're angry at God because the outcome didn't turn out the way you thought it should. You need to let that go. Some of you might be in a place today where you're having a hard time forgiving you. And you can let that go. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. because I know all over the place today, watching online and everywhere in this room, in the room earlier today, before us, and after us, there will be people who make decisions that they need to let that thing go. And as soon as you do, you will experience a freedom and a grace and life so differently. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around real quick, but you say, Josh, I need God to forgive me. I haven't been living for Him the way I ought to. And I need Him to forgive me. I've messed up. I've failed. I need to come back home to God, or I need to come to God for the very first time and ask for forgiveness. If that's you anywhere in this place, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, you say, Josh, that's me. I need to ask God for forgiveness. I need to get forgiveness in my life. If you would, just right now, just slip up a hand right where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Yep, I see you. It's good for you. Anybody else say, yeah, that's me. I need, yes, ma'am, I see you. Good for you, buddy. Oh, yes, ma'am, I see you. Good for you. Hands all over the place. Thank you. I got you. Would you do this as a declaration of your faith? And everybody pray it out loud. If you made that decision online, pray this out loud there, wherever you're watching. Everybody in here, join me and repeat after me, praying it with those who are watching online, people who are in this room, praying it, maybe for the very first time. Would you all say this out loud from your heart? Say it like you mean it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He was raised from the dead. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, now and forever. I turn from my sin, I turn to your Son, and I'll follow Him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you all make some noise and celebrate with those people who made a decision? That's so awesome.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.